We thank you for Jesus, the lily of the valley. We ask that your Holy Spirit will be with us, Lord, as we want to contemplate your desires and your love and the Sabbath truth. In Jesus' name, amen. In the beginning, there was Abzu, the sweetwater ocean, Tiamat, the saltwater ocean, and Mumu, their son. Abzu and Tiamat bore other gods, who, making too much noise, disturbed Abzu and Tiamat, who conspired to destroy them. A younger god, Ea, killed Abzu first. Tiamat, planning revenge, gave birth to 11 monsters, dragons, and serpents to battle for her, including the great lion, the mad dog, and the scorpion man. The younger gods knew that they couldn't defeat Tiamat, so terrified they appealed to Marduk, who agreed to fight for them, but only if they made him chief of all the gods. The others agreed, "To thee we have given totality of the whole universe." Armed with a bow, club, lightning, a net, 11 winds, and a storm chariot drawn by 4 frightful creatures sharp of tooth bearing poison, Marduk battled Tiamat. When Tiamat opened her mouth to devour Marduk, he drove into the wind until the raging winds filled her belly. When she became distended, he shot an arrow into her mouth and tore her apart. Marduk then used half her carcass to create the heavens. From the other half, he formed the earth. He then mixed the blood of one of Tiamat's allies with the clay of the earth to make mankind, whose role was to do the work of the defeated gods. The Babylonian story of creation. Are you kind of grateful that God says, "Come out of Babylon"? In contrast to the fickle, violent, and carnal gods of the ancient pagan pantheon, the omniscient creator, depicted in Genesis, purposely spoke the world into existence, not as an afterthought of a vicious battle between jealous, vengeful, and violent gods, but as a carefully planned and calculated act. God spoke, and it was. In the pagan creation accounts, the gods had attributed attributes of men: jealousy, pride, passionate. In Genesis, man is given the attributes of God himself. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. In the pagan accounts, the world and those in it were flawed, as were the gods who made them. But in Genesis, everyone and everything the Lord created came out perfect, even as he was perfect. Then God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very, very good. And the perfect God did a perfect job in just 7 days. Perfect God, perfect job, perfect number, 7. I like that, don't you? And after I put all this together and chopped and chopped and chopped, I found I had 7 things remaining. I'm sure it's not perfect, but I hope it's helpful. The first one is number 1. Where does the 7-day week come from? Now, in our solar system, there are several things that go around. What goes around in 24 hours? Huh? Okay, what goes around in a month? What goes around in a year? What goes around in the week? Huh? Nothing. Nothing goes around in a week. Of course, we already know that there is no astronomical or historical explanation for the existence of the 7-day week apart from the Genesis account. The 7-day week is not tied to an astronomical cycle. The only explanation is the creation story, and science has no answer. They cannot explain the 7-day week otherwise. The 7-day week and the 7-day Sabbath are a perpetual testimony, friends, that the creation story in Genesis 1 and 2 is absolutely historical and true. What do you say? Number two, time. God's invincible memorial. Not invisible, but invincible memorial. In John 1:1-3, what does it say? And verse 14, we can all say it together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And then in verse 14, what does it say? He became flesh. Amen. Very special. Yes.
Thanks so much for bringing this up. I love the scripture. It's like a gold mine. Here it says at the bottom, and that God will feed us with the heritage of Jacob, when you think of Abraham and Isaac. And then Jacob having his name changed to the Prince of God.
Amen.
The reality that the Lord of the Sabbath was given a crown of thorns that I might be called to. But it's the whole thing is just rich and deep. Thank you.
Amen. There's one back here. Amen. Wonderful testimony.
I love Sarah because I love Sarah. Now, that's me. It's the talking. You know, you get to see people, and you don't sit on the table, and you think you haven't seen in a week. How's your week been going? I mean, there's just no other place where you can get people all in one room. There's nobody can tell you can't talk.
Amen. Thank you so much. I could go on, and the first thing I thought about was the Sabbath of my baptism. Such a glorious day that was. And I used to keep Sunday, and there just wasn't anything in it. But the Sabbath is, God made it holy, and it's so special. And we could go on and talk about that. Now, I would like to show you something here. The creation week. The first day, God divided the light from the darkness, made the day. The second day, He created the atmosphere. The third day, He covered the earth with vegetation. He formed on the first day, and the second day, and the third day. And on the fourth day, something else happened. He filled the earth with the sky with birds, the sea with fish, and He filled with animals and man. So He formed and He filled, and then He made the Sabbath. And I'd like to just say, and we have it reviewed here, God formed the habitats that would be filled. Later, He filled, and during the Sabbath, we allow God to reform and to fill us. We can be blessed every Sabbath if we really allow God and ask Him to reform and refill us. What do you say? Now, number seven. Lastly, number seven. The blessings of the arbitrary command. This is a little deeper. There was a test for mankind at the beginning of the history of mankind, and there will be one at the end. Let's go briefly to the beginning of the great controversy on earth in Eden. After Jesus created our first parents and created every conceivable blessing they could enjoy, and they rested in loving fellowship with Him, the Creator of the universe, on the Sabbath, after such unimaginable blessings, He made an arbitrary command. He says, don't eat that fruit. It was a sin to eat it. Now, sin is normally poison. It kills. But we are told that there was nothing poisonous in the fruit itself. And when Eve ate it, the sin was not merely in yielding to appetite. It was what? It was distrusting the goodness of God. It was disbelief in His Word and rejection of His authority that made our first parents transgressors. Don't eat the fruit was an arbitrary command. God, their Creator, had the right, didn't He, to make an arbitrary command? The command gave Adam and Eve, actually, the opportunity to be blessed. The command gave Adam and Eve the opportunity to be blessed by responding to their Creator's measureless love with loving, unquestioning obedience. By doing something purely for God's sake instead of their own self-interest. As one writer said, I don't like this, that command allowed them to walk out of their own will entirely into His will. Isn't that beautiful? What a blessing that could have been to fully walk with God totally apart from their own self-interest. But you know the story. They chose instead to distrust God's goodness, to disbelieve His Word and reject His authority. And you know the fatal rest of the story of failing that simple test. Now, that was at the beginning of the great controversy on earth. And we are now at the end of the great controversy. In the 21st century, even though we know His command benefits us, we may be resistant to an arbitrary command to keep God's Sabbath. But in this, we have the opportunity to do what our first parents didn't, to be blessed by trusting God's goodness, believing His Word, and fully accepting His authority. We have the opportunity to be blessed by responding to our Creator's measureless love in loving, unquestioning obedience, by doing something purely for God's sake instead of for our own self-interest. To walk out of our own will entirely into His will. To fully walk with God apart from our own self-interest. We are near the end of the great controversy. Revelation 14. Revelation 14. Includes both God's last message to the world and the second coming of Jesus. The message is to prepare people for that second coming. It is a call to give glory to who? God. You know, we used to sing that song, oh, that will be glory for me. But who are we to give glory to? To God. We are to give glory to God. We are to give glory to God, to worship Him, and to give 100% allegiance to our Creator. Within that message, the very words of the Sabbath commandment are included. And let's review it again. And you all know it by heart. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto those that dwell on the earth, every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, or reverence God, and give glory to who? To Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and the fountains of water. He made what? The heaven and the earth. That's right out of the fourth commandment. We are to exalt the fourth commandment. We are to preach the Sabbath more fully at the end of the great controversy between Christ and Satan. The Seventh-day Adventist movement has been carrying that message. And I was going to give you some history on when it started and all that, but there's not time in this sermon. But the Seventh-day Adventist movement has been carrying that message to all the world, including the testing message. Adam and Eve had a test, but we have a test too, right? Between the seal of God and the mark of the beast, as clarified in Daniel and Revelation. Yes, there was a test in Eden, and we face a real test in the near future. And in view of that, I would like us to think a little deeper. I would like us to think a little deeper as to our attitude toward our Creator God. Friends, we need a balanced view. Sometimes we focus on one thing, we need a balanced view. The fourth commandment, the Sabbath commandment, is beneficial to me. But it is also an arbitrary command. As in Eden, it is not just a suggestion. We know that Christ's love toward us is such that He would not make any commandment that is not for our best good. In other words, it's always beneficial to me to it's beneficial to me to obey His commandment. But isn't the arbitrary command also an opportunity for me to look beyond me? To have a more balanced relationship with God, to broaden my vision, to look beyond me, myself, and I, and my salvation, my reward, to see that He gets His reward. To look beyond Jesus as my friend. Yes, He's my friend. Some people call Him his buddy, their buddy. He's our best friend. Yes, He is. But shouldn't I remember that Jesus is also far more than my friend? He is the awesome God, the Creator and Sustainer of the universe with worlds like the sand on the seashore. Never forget it. He deserves my reverence, my honor, my full allegiance, my obedience to even His arbitrary command just because He asked me to do it. Whether it's a benefit to me or not, what do you say? Shouldn't I look at it that way? To have a balanced relationship with God? When the world has chosen to worship Him on another day of their choice, instead of His choice, I have chosen to glorify, I can choose to glorify Him by worshiping Him as He commands on the Sabbath, keeping every hour holy, to glorify Him, to worship Him, regardless of any benefit I may receive. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Two stories. Once upon a time in the middle of the 19th century, two competing stories were catapulted into the stage of human awareness. Two stories destined to become locked in a desperate global showdown to the very end of human time. The first was birthed in 1844 when it began its mission to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. In the dark twist of unlikely coincidence, the second story was also birthed in the year 1844 in July. 189 handwritten pages. 189 handwritten pages. It too began its mission to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. What are the two stories? The first story still cries out the words of that lone angel. Streaking across the midnight heavens of the apocalypse with his piercing shout. At the end of human time, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him that made the heaven and earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. An urgent call to the human race that must be heard. It is the judgment hour. Worship your Creator and remember His memorial of creation, the seventh-day Sabbath, to keep it holy. This is the message that was given with new fervor by Seventh-day Adventists in the 19th century, and it remains the core of Seventh-day Adventism today. The second story is the dark antithesis, the shadowy opposite of the first story. For the second story now proclaims, and it came from those 189, started with those 189 pages. The second story now proclaims a bold and strident challenge. There is no Creator God. There is no Creator God to worship. For you are all the God you ever need. Worship yourself. Forget the myth of creation, the tale of the judgment. The second story is Darwin's tale, and is proclaimed with great fervor by evolutionists around the world. Two stories birthed at the same time, once upon a time, and now destined to be locked. These two stories in life and death struggle for human allegiance until the end of time. Two stories with two very opposite beginnings and tragically two very opposite endings. Two stories, the first story proclaimed by Adventism, the second propagated by Darwinism, The first, a Christian message of hope. The second, a godless message of hopelessness. Jesus says, our loving Creator says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. May you week by week increasingly experience the ultimate of Sabbath and Sabbath observance. May you experience the freedom, the joy, and the rest that Jesus has for you. May you be blessed as you honor and glorify Him by obeying His command to keep holy the Sabbath day. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of your Sabbath. Give us grace to keep it to the full. Reform and refill us today and every Sabbath. In Jesus' name, amen.